so to me, this is going to be a very informative and hopefully a very practical study for us today in our Q&A. But those are the questions that we're going to be considering, and I'm sure when our fellow Bible students get loaded in and loaded up, that they'll have some questions that go along with that on the spur of the moment. And that's what Q&A is all about. That's the direction aspect that we're so glad that we have a live daily broadcast. I tell this story oftentimes, but I remember when Brother Ryan Smithy and I first spoke about timing, and as far as what time that I wanted, he sent me a sheet and it had all of the ones that were already taken, and I looked it over and I said, okay, I want from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And he said, what? And I know that many of my compadres would say, really? That's what you want to do, that every day? You want to do it for a whole hour and you want it live and interactive? And I said, yes, that's exactly what I want. And we've been doing this for several years now. And I will tell you, there have been times that it has been exhausting. And there have been times that I've had to, I might be gone, might not have access to get to the avenues or the venues that we utilize. But I've always thoroughly enjoyed the background study that goes into this. Takes more than an hour of preparation, I assure you. But at the same time, I will tell you that it has blessed my preaching. It has blessed my teaching in so many different areas. And so I want to thank you. I want to thank TGRN, who really started this process out. I'm also, I think we're on the Bangs radio station there out of Bangs, Texas. They're the one in Florence, Alabama. And then I know that we do the YouTube live, and we have some that are a part of our Bible study on each one of them. And we're so grateful. Maybe I don't express this enough, but I'm so grateful for the listeners, and even more grateful for those who have opportunity. And it really is. I realize this is lunch hour for a lot of people, and we're cutting right into the heart of that. So you may get to listen, and you may not always have the opportunity to respond. And we understand that, and we understand the nature the nature of the beast, I guess you would say, as we're talking about radio and YouTube Live and things such as that. And we're just grateful that you can be a part of this with us. You have blessed my life, I know, but our life in being able to study for these topics, and especially the Q&A. Oh, this really gets a preacher's blood pumping, you might say, when you start talking about a Q&A. I love more than anything else to have an interactive class. Now, listen, there are times you've got to present the foundation of the lesson. And then there are times in which you just want to open it up and allow the students, your fellow students, to be able to show you the richness of their study. And if you don't see that, you don't know where the direction ought to go as a Bible teacher. And so I'm all for that kind of class. Now, that kind of class ain't for everybody. When you open up, you better be able to shut down. If you open something up, you've got to be able to shut something else down. And at the same time, I have a little box in my Bible study. Now, I haven't used it in a while, but I will tell you, I have a little box over in the corner. It's right here in the church building. It's just around the corner. And I always tell people when they get too far off topic, I will say, you know, that's an excellent topic, but I'm going to put it in this box over here, and we'll get back to that later. And so there are times in which you have to put some things on in the box for another time. And so, but it's always good to be with you. It's good to see Sister Jensen joining us this morning. Love and appreciate all of our Bible students, but I know some of them, Washington is in a different time zone than we are. It is not lunchtime for Sister Jensen, and so we appreciate her joining us during this particular time. Well, let's see here. I do have just a couple of announcements before we get started here. I want to extend an invitation to anyone and everyone who is listening or ever come across this, that if you ever get opportunity to come down to Nesbitt, please do so. We would love to have you. We would love to have you join us for any of our Bible studies or opportunities of worship. We meet at 685 Nesbitt Road every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m., for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Come and be our honored guest as we study the Word of God and as we worship God. And so always good to be with our fellow Bible students. Well, let's see here, just a couple of other announcements. I did mention the Bangs Church of Christ. If you have opportunity, if you're listening to us in that Bangs Brownwood area, please go by and see our family and friends at the Bangs Church of Christ. I know you're going to hear some good preaching, some good teaching. They have a fine set of elders. In fact, I was just corresponding with one of the elders just a few minutes ago, and some of the good works and good deeds that he was involved in, and we were talking about some things that, by the way, will just happen so to benefit me, but I appreciate that anyway. So it's always good to have places that you know that you can go, right? Because you can't just go anywhere when you're traveling around the world. Just because it has Church of Christ on the door doesn't mean that you have a Church of Christ on the inside, right? We understand that in today's world. But we also understand that there are good, sound brothers and sisters that are out there. Okay, so with that in mind, we have an invitation for you to come and see us May 2nd through the 5th. Brother Mike Bonner is going to be with us. The topic of discussion for that week, the eternal nature of truth. The eternal nature of truth at the Nesbitt Church of Christ, May 2nd through the 5th, 2021. The next month, 1 month to the day, June the 2nd through the 6th, will be the 5th Annual Men's Development Conference in College Station at the BCS Church of Christ. This is your invitation to come and be with us. All right, so we need to emphasize the points of contact. You can contact us by phone at 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. You can talk with me on the phone live as we are on the radio. You can send me a text on that number. You can join us in the TGRN chat room by going to thegospelradionetwork.org. Click on that Listen Live button in the center of the page. When you do, there is a little speaker up there you can click if you're listening to us with a different venue and you want to chat with us at the same time, then you can do that by going up there and put your name. First name only is just fine, but put your name there in the box and come and join us in the TGRN discussion window. Or, as several do each day, join us in the YouTube live studio. Now you have to go to the Nesbitt Church of Christ channel, and once you do that, you can get in and come and join us. I see that Sister Higgins has joined us from South Texas. Sister Higgins, good to have you along with Sister Jensen, and Miss Mona is here today. I know that we have others. I can see the numbers up there, but I write your name in there. Tell us hi. Tell us where you're from. Tell us where you're listening from. We always love to know where our Bible fellow Bible students are from. All right. I can't think of anything else, so as such, I want to go ahead and get started with the questions today. And we have several questions in regards to things surrounding Bible study. And so one of the things that I want us to note right off the bat are some principles out of Scripture about Scripture, about Bible study. And I think this will begin, and then we'll look at the particular questions at that point. Now, you might say, well, I don't know if I remember too many verses about Bible study. I mean, 2 Timothy 2:15 might come to mind, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study there, meaning be diligent about something. A student in was often referred to as someone who is very diligent. If you were successful in your you were studious in your nature, you were you had your nose to the grindstone, as they might say. So that's how that word is being utilized there. But even more than that, the real essence of the Bible study in that verse is rightly dividing the word of truth. To rightly divide something means that you have to pay attention to particulars. And if we're not paying attention to the details, you know, it's often said the devil is in the details. And that is true in regards to so many things. The devil is really in the details. And what is meant by that is you can call something whatever you want to call it. And we certainly see today where from religious elites to politicians and academia, they want to call something, but they'll name it incorrectly. Because when you get into the details, you see that it ain't nothing like what they say it is. So that's where the devil gets into the details. And so we need to pay attention to the particulars in regards to our Bible study. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 certainly come to mind in regards to this aspect, and that is that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for instruction. It's doctrine. It's profitable for, what does it say there, for reproof and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we're going to thoroughly furnish ourselves with Bible study. Bible study, knowing what the Bible says, is going to help us in doctrine, that is in teaching. It's going to help us in reproof and correction. Sometimes I need to be told, and the Bible is very replete with opportunities to tell me you're getting off the wrong path and you need to get on the right path. And so passages such as this. How about backing up to verse number 14, where Paul tells Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. There is something, and I know one of our questions wraps around the fact that the person did not grow up knowing the Bible, did not grow up in a religious atmosphere that endorsed good Bible study habits. I grew up in such a nature as that, background as that, and so I certainly understand the idea when you come to a particular point in your life, and I'm grateful that I did so early because of people that surrounded me, I realize I am woefully deficient in any kind of Bible knowledge. And so I wanted to go, and there was another guy going from the same congregation, and I wanted to go with him. I wanted to study the Bible. I wanted to learn more about what the Bible had to say. And so that's why I went to School of Preaching in the beginning. That's why I went there. And so there is a value out. I wish I had the foundation of parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who had been faithful members of the body of Christ for so long. And it is a background that you have to get over, right? And you can only do that by intense Bible study. And so Sister Woodall is with us today. And I see that Sister Woodall and Sister Jensen have a lot in common with those grandchildren that they're taking care of and interacting with. That's always a good thing. Just don't let my wife hear that. She'll be jealous over you. Her grandchildren are in Oklahoma and Okinawa, and so she's not going to appreciate that much. She may be taking a trip here pretty soon. but passages like that. How about the passage we oftentimes talk about hiding the Word of God in our heart? Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Certainly entails the aspect of a knowledge of God's Word. Putting it in your mind is now more than just reading it on a page. Or Psalm 119:105, a very familiar verse to all of us, where he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If it's going to light the way for you, then, you know, there's no illumination given in the cowhide or in the fine Indian paper that our Bibles are printed on, right? There's no illumination there in regards. It's not like turning on your iPhone, right, and having that light there, and that will illuminate a room, right? But I've got light switches around. It illuminates the room so that you can see me, unfortunately. But the cowhide and the Indian paper, that doesn't illuminate. It's the words. And when I put those words in my heart, and I know them, and I allow them to direct my path. The Bible says that it's not good to go into this path. So if I don't go into that path, right, the broad way leads to destruction. And a narrow way leads unto life. And so I need to know which path that I'm on. So these are, by the way, these are not the only Bible passages, right? You have Acts 17 and verse number 11, where they certainly the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so. And so as a part of that, it's certainly these are Bible passages that talk about the importance of, how about Acts 8 and 30? This is an interesting to me and pops in my mind as we're talking here about our Bible study. Just in general, how about Acts 8 and 30, where the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, Philip runs up to him and heard him reading out of the prophet Isaiah and says, understandest what thou readest? And you remember his response, how can I except some man should guide me? In other words, he's reading here, and by the way, he's reading out of Isaiah 53. I believe it's verse number 7 in particular that is quoted, but he's reading out of Isaiah 53 there. And he wants to know in particular, he cannot understand, at least in part, who the author is talking about. Now, that's going to become very important in the answer to one of our questions in regards to Bible study, is we should always understand who is doing the talking. And by the way, we should understand who is he talking about. Mistakes are made, especially in prophetic literature, in regards to who an individual is. I can think of a couple in Isaiah that are certainly misunderstood in regards to these things, but nevertheless, they are, how about... what is the one I'm thinking of in particular about the devil there in Isaiah? Oftentimes people think that they're talking about the devil, and it's not even talking about the devil at all. And so there are a couple of passages. You need to know who's doing the talking, who they're talking about, all that. We'll get to that in just a minute. Sister Woodall says, I love the quote from Marshall Keeble, you've got a book that can change the world, but you can't do it. You can't do it with it under your arm. You have to have it in your heart. I love that quote. It's a beautiful quote. And so just with those passages in mind, it is important that we look at some of these questions. You know, one of the questions, I'll take the second one first because I believe this is an overall question. It says, I didn't grow up in the church, and as such, I did not get a good grounding in the Bible, and often find it hard to keep up with the storyline. Can you help? And, I think I can, with a short, I want us to understand, when we talk about the Bible, it is important for us to understand that the Bible is one book, but it's also a library of books. And it's important for us to understand that. Keep in mind these things. One book, two testaments, three dispensations. There are, we're going to divide it up into five. I like the five better than I do the four. It can be broken up either way. There are four divisions or five divisions in both the Old and New Testament. And then there are 15 divisions, major divisions in the Bible. That is, historical developments in the Bible. Now, having all of that is vitally important in regards to that. These 15 divisions, I think, are important in the Bible. And so keeping that in mind is very important. So you have one, you have two, you have three, you have five, and then you have 15 divisions of the Bible. And so those are things that we certainly want to keep in mind when you talk about the natural divisions of the Bible itself. Now, some might break it up into seven categories. I like the 15. I think it's a lot better division in regards to the Bible. And so I think you can certainly see how these will play out over time. And so let's look at some of these. First of all, it's important to understand that the Bible is one book. There is a great unity in this. From Genesis to Revelation, it is one story. It is has one theme, the glory of God, the salvation of man through Jesus Christ. It is one book. Every book of this Bible, if you took it and you put a line, like those old clotheslines, y'all remember those old clotheslines we used to have hanging out? Maybe some of you still do, right? But you have all those clothes on the line. Well, if you take a clothesline and then you put each book of the Bible up on that clothesline, it's going to have something to say about the scheme of redemption. Every single book about... Brother Franklin Camp years ago helped me better understand the relationship between the books of the Bible and the theme of the Bible. Brother Roy C. Deaver as well also helped me in regard. He was my first instructor in Old Testament survey, and then Robert Taylor as well, and others such as that. H.I. Hester has an excellent book in regards to the heart of Hebrew history, which will, and then the heart of the New Testament. Those are also great books in regards to that. It helps you to understand the storyline, and that is important. Yes, Miss Mona mentions a book by Frank Chesser entitled The Portrait of God, which is also a book that is designed to teach you about the scheme of redemption as it continually unfolds, about the nature of God, the nature of sin, and then about the aspect of redemption in the storyline. Those are excellent items. So the Bible must be seen as a book of unity. It's one of its great arguments, by the way, for inspiration, is the unity of the theme as it runs throughout the entire Bible. No theme of any book should be chosen that does not advance the scheme of redemption in regards to that in some form or fashion. And so, keeping in mind, number one, that this is one book, but this one book has two testaments to it. There is a page, there's mine right there, there's a page that divides the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is a major division, right? You have the New Testament often talks about this, and the Old Testament in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34 also. There's going to come a time when there's going to be a new covenant that is given. It's not the covenant that was given, the Mosaic covenant, right? These are the two testaments, the two covenants, the Old Covenant, the law that is inclusive of the law of Moses, and the New Covenant, which is inclusive of the law of faith. And so you have that in regards to that breakdown. Now you also have, as you survey through the Bible, you have three dispensations. Now a dispensation is simply a fancy word for the word age. You have three different age of the Bible. You have the patriarchal age, you have the Mosaic age, and then you have the Christian age. Those are the three ages or dispensations in your Bible. So when you begin reading in the book of Genesis, for example, and sometime up until Exodus chapter 20, you have the patriarchal dispensation. But now in Exodus chapter 20, the law is given, at least the Ten Commandments, and then the law is given to Moses and he writes it down. And so you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, the patriarchal or the Mosaic law system included in that as well. And so here you have the idea of a patriarchal system of law. But now then you have a system of law known as the Mosaic Law that begins right there in Exodus 20 and goes all the way to the cross. So you have this time frame wherein, and it covers the majority of the Old Testament, right? From Exodus 20 all the way throughout the book of Malachi. And in fact, the historical developments in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John take place in the Mosaic dispensation. In other words, what law did Jesus live under as he lived upon this earth? He lived under the law, Galatians 4 and verse number 4, right? He was born of woman, born under the law. That's the law that he lived under. That's the law that he was faithful to, you see. And so understanding the dispensations of time is important as well in our Bible study. Now let's talk about the breakdown. I mentioned the Pentateuch earlier. The Pentateuch is the writing of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, and it's referred to as the Pentateuch, and it is the foundation book. All other books are going to be built off of the principles that are outlined in the law of Moses, or the Pentateuch. Now from that, so you have the books of law. That's what they are referred to, the Pentateuch. It's the books of law. So when you're reading, you have history and you have the development of history, but you have law. And so now in the books of Joshua, all the way through the Chronicles, and that's dealing with Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther as well. So you're going to skip over that's why they come earlier in your development, in your reading. They come earlier than the prophets because that's going to begin, all that is the books of history. So from Joshua all the way through the Chronicles you're going to have, and Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, you're going to have the books of history. That you find that, and by the way, this is interesting too. If you'll note, each of these sections, you have Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. There's always three in this correlation. You have three books, two of them advanced time, one of them is a sidestep. It's a opening up of that particular time frame and looking in-depthly at it. Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. So Joshua and Judges, advanced time, but when you look at the book of Ruth, what do you have? You have a book that begins in the time of the judges. So it's a spotlight book. You have two that advance and one that is a spotlight book. But then you have Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. Well, you might say, well, wait a minute, Rick, that's six books. Not originally. Originally, they were only three books. They are divided up in order when you write in Greek as opposed to Hebrew, then the parchment could not handle it, so they divided it up into two different books. But in reality, it's Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. Well, Samuel and Kings advance history, and the book of Chronicles takes the events that you find in those books, and it spotlights the kings of the south and the lineage of David and so forth in the book of Chronicles. So you have two steps forward in time, and you have one spotlight. Now notice when you get beyond the captivity, the Babylonian captivity, what do you have? You have Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Well, Ezra and Nehemiah both advance time. But Esther fits right in the midst of or in between chapters 6 and 7 of the book of Ezra. The first six chapters of Ezra deals with the work of Zerubbabel. There is a break, I think it's about 58 years, and then chapter 7 begins, and that's the work of Ezra. So you have the building of the temple, you have the work of Ezra, you have the priesthood restored, and then you have the building of the wall around Jerusalem, an advancement of time and a spotlight book. That's the way the books of history work. But then, so you have law, you have history, and then number three, you have poetry. Now, the poetry begins with the book of Job, but there's a great deal of history there, but it is a book of poetry. And the laws of poetry, see, when you're talking about how to study the Bible, you need to understand what genre you're actually studying. Am I studying law? Am I studying history? Am I studying poetry? There are some differences there that we can get to maybe in a further study and talk about in more detail particular study principles. But that would cover Job's, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Those are books that are put together as books of poetry. Now, following the books of poetry, you have a breakdown, and this is where you get either four or five. Some will go with four, and they will say the books of prophecy. And that would certainly work, but we're going to divide the major and the minor prophets up due to classification of the length, generally, of their books. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, also Lamentations is included in that because it is authored by Jeremiah, almost like an appendix to the book of Jeremiah. So those books are called the major prophets. And then there are 12 that at one time was just included as one book. Now, they were written by different men, as oftentimes a lectureship book is similar to that. A lectureship book, you have multiple authors, one editor, one designer, and they put it together, and then these men put their work in it. That's similar to what the Minor Prophets was at this particular time, but you have all of the 12 minor prophets in that. And so you have five major breakdowns of the Old Testament: law, history, poetry, prophecy, major and minor prophets included in that. Now, in the New Testament, you have five as well. And again, you could have four. But five, I think, is a better breakdown because you have history. You have the Gospels, and we can break that down as just the history of Christ. Then you have the book of Acts, which is history, but it's the history of the church. So you have the Gospels, you have history, you have the epistles. Now, the epistles really should be broken down because 13 of them are written by one man, the Apostle Paul. And then, so there's the Pauline epistles and the general epistles. And then you have, finally, the book of Revelation, which is a book of prophecy. So you have gospel, history, you have Pauline epistles, you have general epistles, and then you have the book of prophecy, the book of Revelation. And so that's a good breakdown of the five categories out of the Old and New Testament. We're talking about this storyline, and every section fulfills something important. And this is why when I study the Pentateuch, for example, I want to study the Pentateuch, and I want to say to myself, not only how does each book develop the scheme of redemption, but how does that section, how does the law, the Pentateuch, develop the scheme of redemption? How does the books of history develop the scheme of redemption? How does the Gospels develop the scheme of redemption? You see, all of those are vitally important in regards to that particular study. So I'm trying to give you this this breakdown. Now, I was looking for, and I could not find, and I know I've got it in my library somewhere. I looked all over the place for the 15 divisions of the Bible, and I could not find the idea of the 15. And I know I have them. I have them on my computer somewhere. But when I got this, was one of the latter questions, and so when I got it, I kept thinking, where is that? I'm going to put it in my Bible somewhere so that I don't have to search for it each time. But I wanted to find these 15 because I believe they're very important to understanding the overall scheme of everything in regards to this development. And so, again, I'm not going to be able to go through all 15 of them with you. But I will give you some of them. The Bible starts out with the antediluvian period and the post-diluvian period. That is, the period before the flood and the period after the flood in regards to those. And so that's how the division begins. And then what you're trying to do here is you're trying to break down. You want to start out like a funnel, really wide at the top, right? So you don't spill anything. The Bible is one book. And then you narrow that down. Now it's two covenants. You narrow that down a little bit more, and it's three dispensations. Then you have a little bit more narrower, and you have the 15, five divisions of the Old and five divisions of the New. And then you break that down into the 15 divisions of the Bible as well. And then you further break that down by looking at how each book begins to develop that in each chapter. And then you begin with an outline of each book, and you begin to outline the Bible. And then you begin to do even further study, and guess what? Now you're into chronology. Now, see, I want to know, and this is one of the things that is very important. Do you find that sometimes you get lost? As this inquisitor says, I get lost and I cannot keep up with the storyline. That's where a good chronological understanding of the Bible comes in. And so I need to make sure that I keep that chronology in line. That I figure out where I am in that chronology. Now, there are some great books in regards to that. So you have a Reese's Chronological Bible, I think, is one of the most helpful in regards to that, because the Bible that he put together is actually, it's very conservative in its numbers, first. And number two, he includes other numbers. And then number three, he includes the dates as you go along, and it's all chronologically organized. So it's a very interesting study tool. I encourage people to have a Reese's Chronological Study Bible. Now, I've had many over the years, and unfortunately, when I loan them out, I never get them back. That's how good they really are. Now, the ages there are the dispensations, Sister Woodall. Three dispensations. A dispensation refers to the ideal of age. And so I hope that that helps keep that. And I realize we didn't go over all 15 of those. And that is, I will get that information to you. If you will send me, I'll tell you this right now, seeing that we're on this subject, if you will send me a note at rickpopejoy@gmail.com. Again, that's rickpopejoy@gmail.com. I will make sure that gets posted or gets sent to you. And I will encourage computer person to put it up on the Nesbitt Church of Christ website. And so that will be two ways in which you can do that. So hopefully those will be helpful in regards to that. Now, I may have spent more time than I intended on that, but I think that is an excellent, having an overview is one of the most important things in regards to that. Now, one of the questions is, can you help me understand Bible study? What is it, and how can I improve as a student? Well, first of all, we do need to understand, if you just break those two words down, Bible study. We do have to understand the word study first, right? That the word study is a word that implies hard work. If you're not invested and you're not willing to put in a lot of sweat and toil, a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort, if you're not willing to ask the hard questions of the text, you'll never really engage in good, solid, productive Bible study that will cause you to continue to grow throughout your life. And so the first thing I'm going to say is it is hard work. Study. To show thyself approved unto God, right? Study. That's it. That's important that we understand that. That's the word diligent there. It means hard work. Hard work is involved in this aspect. And so if I want to be approved of God, if I want to rightly divide the word of truth, I got to put a lot of hard work into it. Number two, I'm going to suggest this. Saturation reading. Hard work, saturation reading. In other words, read the Bible. Now, I need to read it, and I'll get to this in a minute. I need to read it carefully. I need to read it with details in mind, but that comes later. What I'm talking about at the very beginning is that I must saturate my mind, and I must continue to saturate my mind with the Word of God. Now, there are a couple of different ways that you can do that. One of the ways that I suggest is, let's just take the New Testament. If you read the New Testament about 10 chapters every day, you will read the entire New Testament in 30 days. Now, at that juncture, if you start again and do it another 30 days, and let's say you do this for a period of 12 months, well, if you read the New Testament once every month for 12 months, you've read the New Testament 12 times. As opposed, now that's saturation reading. Don't read it and ask all the questions yet. Just read it. Read it quickly. Read over it and read over it and read over it. In other words, what I want you to do is become familiar with the contents of your Bible. Now, if you do that with the Old Testament, it's going to take you 3 months. And so you'll read it about four times a year. The Old Testament, a little bigger than the New Testament. And but that's saturation reading. Now, a friend of mine, Brother Omari French, got me interested in another device as well, and that is sitting down and reading a single book in one setting. That is, no matter what the book is, the longest book word-wise is the book of Jeremiah. And so sitting down and reading the book of Jeremiah in one setting is not easy. But it can give you, if you do that, a better perspective of the book itself. Rather than just reading one section, then sleeping and working, and then going back and reading another section. Say, if you read Jeremiah 10 chapters at a time, it's going to take you 5.5 days in order to do that, you see. So there's a lot that goes on in 5.5 days, whereas you can spend about an hour or so and you can read the entire thing, and you can get the whole book down and do that multiple times. I try to set aside the month of June. June is always tough because that's the Men's Development Conference now, but I try to set aside a 1 month that I can actually engage in that activity. And I can read the whole Bible in 1 month by reading every book of the Bible, about 2 books a day. Sometimes they are long, sometimes they are long days, sometimes they're short days. But that is a way to get familiar with the Bible. Now again, you're not stopping at every word. Well, what does that word mean? What does this mean? You're not asking those questions yet. What you're doing is you're saturating your mind with the Word of God. Reading, reading, reading. Now, reading is not the only thing to Bible study. I would suggest as well that, number three, that you begin to do some detailed work. Now then you go back and you've read it, you've saturated your mind with it, you're doing that 10 chapters a day, but then you go back. So let's say I'm reading the book of Matthew, and I've read the first 10 chapters. I've saturated my mind with it. That's not all there is to Bible study. So now I've got to go back, and I'm going to pay attention to some details in the book of Matthew. Now I want to go to Matthew chapter 1. I want to ask some questions. What is this genealogy? You see, who are these people mentioned in the genealogy? Well, the more I know, the more I've saturated my mind with the Old Testament, right? Then the more I'm going to have an answer to the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1. And by the way, when I get over to Luke chapter 3, why is Luke and Matthew different genealogies? I need to be able to answer that in my mind. Those are questions. I'm going to write those down. And then I'm going to come back. I'm going to try to put some study into that in order to, I'm going to get to the details, right? At that particular point. So I start out with understanding this is hard work. It's not, listen, this ain't for wimps. If you want to be a true Bible student, you cannot be a wimp in relationship to Bible study. Listen, this isn't devotional stuff, okay? I'm not knocking devotional stuff. That's important. It's good. But devotional stuff comes out of your excess of your Bible study, okay? This is the nuts and bolts. This is what you have to get down to in order to get to the hard work. And so saturation reading. And then we put the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds. So memorization is important. Memorization is, in fact, you see this with Jesus. Jesus didn't have a scroll with him all the time, just saying, well, let me get to that verse. What is that verse? Can't find. Oh, there it is. There's that verse. He didn't have that. And so the old time gospel preachers used to be admired because they had so much of the Bible memorized. My friends, there may be some importance to that. We may want to get back to that. Memorization is vitally important. Listen, this stems out of Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. It's not just something that I think is a good idea, but we need to understand that it is out of the heart, right? It is out of the heart that either good things we draw out or bad things. What am I putting in? If I'm putting into my mind a saturation of God's Word, a memorization of the details of the listen, God's Word, by definition, is His words, right? A collection of His words. His words are important to us. Now then, I want to suggest to you some planning is important. If you're talking about helping you, then plan. Prearrange the efforts and the time to study. And stick to it. This is very important. If you allow everyone to interrupt you in your Bible study, what that says is your Bible study isn't that important. Now, I understand there are emergencies. Listen, if you've had your leg chopped off while you're studying the Bible, you probably ought to take care of the leg, right? Stop the bleeding first before you continue reading, right? You know, you probably ought to dial 911. You're going to stop the bleeding, all of that stuff. There are emergencies, I understand that. But if every detail interrupts your Bible study is not important to you. So plan and perform. That's would be number four in regards to that. And by the way, keep it regular. Have you noticed that when the Bible talks about Bible study, meditation on the Word of God, it's day and night. It's daily. It's not something that's done weekly or monthly or yearly. It's not an annual item. It is something that is done daily. There is a regularity to your Bible study. Listen, the Bible study is oftentimes, without being vulgar, is a digestive system. And regularity in digestive system is important to the overall health of the body itself. And I'll just leave it at that. But then, number six, I want to suggest the word that I just talked about, meditation. Meditation upon the Word of God. Think about it. I'm saturating my mind with it. I'm memorizing it. All of that, but now I got to engage the thought process. This is why Bible studies that take just a short time probably aren't real effective to serious Bible students. A 20-minute time frame isn't going to work. I got to ask the serious questions of the text. And there are some things. The Ethiopian eunuch is asking a serious question. Who is this man talking about? Is he talking about himself or is there some other? Well, there's some other, right? And that becomes very, very important to that. The use of Bible study tools. Now, I'm going to ask you to be real careful here. Make sure it's a real Bible study tool. There's a difference between an aid and an addition. And we should know the difference between that. A Bible concordance. Now, I'm going to suggest a Strong's Concordance. Everything is keyed to a Strong's. Strong's is exhaustive. Every word of the Bible is included in that. And it is a wonderful tool to help you understand what the actual details of this. What is this word? That's very important. A good English dictionary, but don't stop there because sometimes they get it wrong. The English Webster's even changed the word faith recently. Now it's believing something where there is no evidence. Well, that's not true. That's not the Bible, so you probably need a good Vines Expository Dictionary, something such as that to help you in your Bible study. And then finally, Sister Woodall mentions this. I have this down as my last point, Sister Woodall, and that is right. Some of us aren't very good at it, but being very good at it, it doesn't take away from the power invested in it. Write. And so write your questions down. When you do research, I have books in my library. I have one right here, in fact. It's a brand new one. My wife, I believe, bought this for me. I have some notes in it, and I'm going to continue. But I have a book that I make sure that I carry. My children just got me one, and it's over at the house. I use that one at the house for my Bible study there. But write down your questions. Write down the answers Word studies are vitally important. In fact, I think I'm going to hold this over until next week because we still have another question here, and I think it's an important question, and I want to continue this discussion. So I'll have for you those 15 divisions of Bible history, and I will get those up on the website. You can send me a note at rickpopejoy@gmail.com, and I'll send that out to you, and we'll continue with this study. It's amazing when you're having fun, and I have fun talking about how to do Bible study and helping people engage in that. To me, that is a resource and a time that is used very wisely. And so I want to thank you today for joining me here on Reflections upon the Precious Book Divine. God bless, and have a wonderful weekend.